You're listening to JTE Movie Thinks. Is that the title? Is that correct grammar? All right, we'll go with it. It's a show about movies and thinking. And now, here's your host, every man's hero, JTE.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of JTE Movie Thinks. This is going to be a fun episode, guys. Coming back for maybe his third or fourth or fifth, I'm not even sure how many times he's been on here, but Mr. Tom Dagnino, a.k.a. Finstock.
You know, it's always a pleasure coming on this show. I would do it every day if I had the chance.
Okay, well, yeah. If we're roommates one day, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, maybe. It's possible.
You never know. And we got a special...
I got that room in my house.
Listen, Tom always goes around with the entourage. Usually it's 10 deep sometimes. Today he rolled in with the one and only DJ Goldberg. Surprise guest, but you know what? More the merrier on JT Movie Things. What's up, DJ?
What's happening, man?
You ready
Thank
to talk
for
some
having
movies?
Me, man. I appreciate it, bro.
This guy is one of the smartest people.
Lies.
He's the third smartest in the room right now. That's clear.
Tom's one,
Bobby's two, and JT are tied, right?
We're tied for first?
Yeah. Tom's one, Bobby's two.
Perfect. Yeah. So DJ, we all know Tom very well. Everyone that knows, watches the show, has heard him many times. Are you a big movie guy?
I am. You know, by trade, I am a TV guy, but I love movies. It was my first love and passion, and so, yeah, I try to keep up, you know?
All right, well, give me... I'm not asking for your top five favorite movies of all time, because, I mean, that's a hard question, but just give me a couple, throw a couple out there, just, like,
hit, top of your movies
list.
In my movie experience.
Exactly.
You know, I think I always go back to movies like The Deer Hunter,
Patton. Oh, damn.
You know, I think Godfather 2, obviously, to
nice.
Be super cliche.
Fantastic.
You know, and then, you know, the Big Lebowski is a seminal movie
oh,
in my
well,
life.
Okay.
And and so are movies like Adventures in Babysitting and Ernest Goes
yes.
to Camp.
The ones you always put on when they're on TV.
Yeah. Well, the first few you mentioned right there, for me, like when someone asked me the question, what's the best decade for film? I kind of lean towards the 70s, man.
It's interesting. It's a sort of a forgotten decade in cinema.
Yes.
But so many amazing movies came out and so many technical like breakthroughs happened. I mean, go
Absolutely.
Watch Midnight Cowboy and yep. tell me that's not the best lighting in any movie of all time.
I mean, seriously, Godfather 1,
Kubrick
2,
might have to say
Patton,
something about that.
One Flew the Cuckoo's Nest, Kubrick's yeah. films, Dr. Strangelove, Jaws, the original Star Wars. I mean, all these movies came out in the
absolutely.
70s.
I would say
Taxi
the 70s.
Driver, Rocky.
I mean, I was born in the 70s, so obviously that was a fantastic decade. I mean, yeah, movies. I mean, look, you got Rocky. Done.
Yeah,
that's all it really needs to say. But yeah, you do have like, you know, The Deer Hunter.
Yeah.
What was that, 74 or something like that?
No, it was later.
It was later, 78.
I think it was.
But I mean, these movies, yeah, I would say the 70s as well. The
yeah.
80s
went... Apocalypse Now?
Yes, Apocalypse. The 80s went into, you know, the kind of fun, crazy,
family.
Cocaine family movies.
Yeah,
you know?
Well...
Like, I think the 80s has the best comedies.
The end of the 70s...
70s have the best, like he said,
yeah.
technical aspects of movies and lighting and the new schemes and the way film
yeah.
was shot. It was amazing stuff, like French Connection and all those things. It was crazy.
Towards the end of the 70s is what gave birth to the blockbuster. Jaws
mm-hmm.
and Star Wars were the two that kind of started the summer blockbuster craze.
Absolutely.
And the 80s took that and just ran with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I totally agree. I mean, it's also, you know, like I said, we have to start this off today. It's a sad day for Rocky fans, you
yeah.
know. You hate to see people die, but you
mm-hmm.
really, really hate to see people die who were in the movie Rocky. You know?
It's very
that's,
true.
That's an issue. Tony Burton, this guy was a former football
yeah.
player.
Mm-hmm. And boxer.
He was in jail and made something out of his life.
Yeah.
And he has some of the most profound... I mean... Profound,
sort of reminds me of the young
you know,
Bobby's
quotes.
Finstock.
Yeah, you know, a little bit. The most, you know, profound
yeah.
quotes in Rocky. I mean, his dialogue was
That's
great.
That's true. You know, a lot of people, you know, Mickey is great in the ring. He's
Absolutely.
Great in the corner. But
mm-hmm.
I think if you ask me who was the best corner man of the whole Rocky series,
yes,
it was Tony Duke.
Throw the damn towel.
Yeah, throw the towel. See,
throw
he's got a machine.
Yeah.
And then you tweeted out a great quote today where he's like, hey, you need to come look at this guy.
You
he needs some serious
boy.
Business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He does. He's like, this is not a game to him. This guy's here for a fight.
Yeah. And one of my favorite quotes from Rocky 2 is where he goes, Apollo's like, I need to fight him again.
No pain. No
and
pain.
And he goes
no
up
pain.
To him and he says, you want the truth? I saw you beat this man like I never see you beat no man
yeah.
ever. And he's
yeah.
kept coming after you.
He's like,
we don't need no man like that in our life.
We don't need a southpaw.
Yeah.
They do everything backwards.
Yeah.
He's right, because I'm a southpaw and I do everything backwards, which also like somehow flips to be the right way. It's crazy.
It's crazy how flip-flops.
Yeah.
But yeah, rest in peace, Tony Burton.
Yeah, it's a sad
one of the
loss.
Greats. Mm-hmm.
I knew we didn't see him in Creed.
Yeah.
Something was an issue.
Yeah, because he'd been in all other six movies,
yeah, he was in
right?
Balboa. Yeah. When he came back in Balboa, was mm-hmm. that not like one of the best moments in the yeah. movie?
It's fantastic.
Let's make some hurting bombs.
Yeah,
I was like, bombs. Oh my God,
like,
yes.
You ain't got the speed. You got arthritis in your neck.
Your knuckles, they're no good.
Yeah, no good.
Oh, man.
Pure,
so good.
Hard, cast iron punching power. It's good stuff, man. It's bad.
He is. I'm trying to think of the only other role I remember him like.
He was in The Shining.
Where was he in The Shining? Was he?
Because he was Scatman Carruthers' brother.
Okay, yeah, maybe. But
he's probably in the hotel, I would assume.
The movie Stir Crazy with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor.
Yeah, great movie.
The prison scene where he goes to punch, I think, like Gene Wilder, and he accidentally hits the big guy. Mm-hmm. And he's all like nervous and he's like putting the match back and like lights a cigarette. That's like one of my favorite scenes in that movie. And I was like, oh, wait, I totally forgot that was him when I was
Tony Burton.
Looking at Tony Burton stuff this morning. But all right, well, let's get to the meat of the show. So basically what I do is every week I have somebody on the show and I ask you, what's the last movie you watched from beginning to end? And, you know, a lot of times we have critics on the show or sometimes we have to go to screenings because we're reviewing a movie. I want to know what's the last movie you watched because you wanted to. Like maybe it's something on Netflix that you haven't seen before.
Well,
maybe it's something that's in your shelf. Maybe you saw Zapped for the 100th time and you took it out of the closet and put it in your DVD player.
You know what? Surprisingly, that's what we're going to talk about
today. No way.
Yep.
Wow, I called it. It was a joke call, and I still called it.
I was walking in my house, and I have a big giant picture of Zapped once you walk in.
Yeah, you have a great poster.
And I was like, you know what? I haven't saw this in a while.
Mm.
I was like, let me check this out again. And guess what? It's still the best.
It holds up.
It is the best. It's Scott Baio and Willie Ames at the height.
Of their power.
Of the power. I mean, yes, they took it to another level with Charles in Charge when they were banned from hanging out with the extras because they were sleeping with all of them.
Gotcha.
They're like, Scott and Willie, you got to chill out. They were just going crazy or cocaine freaks.
Let me ask you a few questions. DJ, have you seen this movie?
I have.
Was the last time you saw it?
Years ago.
Years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw it when I was a kid. Like, teenager, maybe that era, because when you see the poster, it's a great poster. You have,
it's amazing.
It's like him lifting.
It's banned. It was banned in America.
Yeah.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
No, really.
Yeah. I got that on eBay. It's like banned, red band or something like that.
I mean, here's the thing. It's every teenage kid's fantasy come true. The power of like Jean Grey or present. You can move stuff with your
telekinesis.
Yeah, telekinesis. And he doesn't do it to like save humanity. He literally is bringing girls' skirts up, bringing their bras down, like.
And then Willie Ames uses
it.
And Willie Ames uses it to count cards. I mean,
so I don't remember.
Scatman Carruthers is in it.
I don't remember the movie very well because, like I said, it's probably been a good 15 years since I've seen it.
I mean,
but I do remember it. And I do remember it being like one of those 80s VHSs that I would just grab at the Blockbuster and watch every time.
It's a fantastic movie. It's got like the Razzie for like the worst movie ever made.
Did it really? No, it didn't.
Yeah,
come
it got
on.
Something. It got a Razzie for something.
That's horrible.
Golden Raspberry. Golden Raspberry for worst actor, Willie Ames.
Let me ask you this, because this is maybe a false memory of mine. I remember the movie not being as sexual as I thought it was going to be.
They have a great love scene between Scott Baio, and he makes the bed fly out, you know, the mattress comes down, and they make love to a great song. I don't remember what it was. But it's like a 4.5 minute
lovemaking
scene.
Okay.
Now, it was supposed to be a minute long, but Scott Baio is such a pimp that they were like, this is amazing, and this is gonna, we have to go 4.5 minutes with this.
Well, okay, so DJ, do you remember like any, I feel like it wasn't on a Porky's level of like,
no, not even close.
No, it was very tame, more tamer than I thought it was going to be when I watched it.
But think about it, in 82,
that's true,
you know,
and
just barely sort of.
That's funny because I remember the 80s, you could get away with like, I remember seeing a PG movie and it had boobs. I might have been Airplane.
Absolutely.
It probably was.
Yeah, it probably was Airplane. But yeah, so it's like, I'm trying to think of, it's weird. Like, I remember the movie as a whole, but not like scene by scene. Is this Scott Baio's like one of his first movies starring?
Yes. You know, because he was just Chachi for a while.
Yeah, he was. Oh, that's right. He started off in Happy Days. I totally forgot about that.
The crazy part about it is following the box office success of Porky's and the nudity that was allowed in that in 81, they went back and reshot Zapped. And made it a little more rougher, sort of like what Deadpool is going to do for superheroes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And another one back in reshot.
Yeah, they were like, we don't have enough nudity in here. Let's go hard because Porky's really, and there was a breast every 2 seconds. It was the best.
This is like, it's a little bit, reminds me of
and
Teen
Wolf.
And it
was Bush in that too. Yeah, that's the thing.
It reminds me a little bit of Teen Wolf, like that kind of kid in high school comes with a power right. and abuses it to like, you know, become the popular kid in school.
It was
right?
a typical 80s format.
Geek. Is that it?
Geek
Go ahead.
Gets a power and gets laid. Period. And then some way screws it up. And everybody
learns a lesson by the end of the
day. He should be with the hot chick, but realizes that, you know, the hot, cool chick is the one to go.
Right. I think I was the, I mean, you know, a lot of people could probably, Boof's hot. I'll take Boof over her, and I'll take Bernadette over the Heather Thomas character.
I know.
Bernadette's really hot.
Super hot and disappeared after Zapped. Yeah, I mean, I guess after Facts of Life.
Well, Scott Baio, though, like, she's tainted now. Because Scott Baio is known for, like, having real sex on camera. Him, Mickey Rourke.
And Mickey Rourke. Okay. I knew Mickey Rourke about that, but I know Scott Baio, too.
Very method. I mean, look, you know, I wanted to do a remake of Zapped, but they did some stupid one for like the Lifetime Channel or something like that.
Oh,
that
really?
It was just really bad.
Like, only like 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, it was like 2012 or something.
Now,
like
it's funny because like I go to Blockbuster, I used to go to Blockbuster. I go to Best Buy, I go to these like Amoebas. That's not one of those movies you ever see on a shelf.
Never.
Like, I don't know what the company might have went under. They have the rights, but they can't produce the Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they ever made it on DVD.
Do they even make it?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah, I have it on DVD.
You do have DVD?
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I have it on.
See, but it's one of those ones you literally have to go out of your way on eBay or Amazon.
I got it from Turkey.
Okay, that makes sense. Like some European country probably.
Because everybody's like Zapped. Yeah. I'm like, this is a great movie. Scott Baio, it's his favorite movie he's ever done. He said he loved it
when he shot it,
and he loves it now. Yeah, absolutely.
I need to go back and rewatch this movie.
Look, I was, I think, you know, this is when movies were fun.
True.
You know, comedies were great. This was a great movie. I mean,
but this wasn't like nowadays, this wouldn't be an A-list title. When this movie came out, it wasn't an A-list title. No. This is like Just One of the Guys, maybe a step below of it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that movie?
Fantastic.
Just One of the Guys,
Oh, when she whipped him out in the end.
Unbelievable.
When she showed the gay dude she was dating, whatever the hell he was. I mean, Zapka's in that too.
Yeah, Zappa.
It's the best.
That was like him. That movie and where is Karate Kid? Was he also bullying Back to School?
He was the bully in Back to School.
Yeah,
he had a short role in European Vacation as Audrey's boyfriend.
Did he really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Now he's an Oscar-winning short director.
He was in Hot Tub Time Machine also.
He was.
Great cameo.
He was. And obviously, I mean, I got an action figure of him at his house.
Now, I believe I'm correct in saying they did make a Zap 2.
They did.
Oof.
Who was in Zap 2? Was it?
I can't tell you.
All right, I'm going to look it up. Was it like, did you see it? I mean, as a fan of the first one, how do you not? I feel like I might have seen it.
You know what? I might have. I think Willie Ames was in it. I just didn't think it worked.
Really?
I mean, look, he gets these powers.
Oh, it's called Zapped Again.
Zapped Again, that's what it was.
1990. It's not even an 80s movie.
He gets these powers off of like.
Oh, wow, this looks
off
bad.
Like, off of like weed or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Like weed mixes with something. Okay. I forget what it was. I was just overwhelmed. But that's how he gets the powers and wakes up, and they have great special effects in this thing. I mean, if anybody hasn't watched this yet and you're a comedy fan, this is it.
That's how you know Zapped Again didn't do very good because the guy who starred in the sequels, Kevin Matthews, his name is Todd. His real name is Todd Eric Andrews, and there's no picture of him on IMDb.
Oh, he's working. You know why? Because he's over at the gas station at La Cienega now.
Yeah, he didn't really do anything else. Oh, apparently he was a small role in The Big Bang Theory in 2007.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that has like some kind of like fantasy about it.
A geek fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, I think you know, you look at Heather Thomas, who went on to do like The Fall Guy and with Lee Majors and things like that. She had like a bad accident and got like disfigured or something.
Really?
I mean, she had a fantastic body, but
that wasn't her in the movie.
It was body doubles.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because you never really think about that. You know, you're like, there's no way that's a body double, and you know, 9 times out of 10, it is.
Listen, as much as I feel like we could talk about Zapped for an hour straight, I don't think it's possible. So let's talk about some of the '80s films that are in this vein that you guys really enjoy. Like, I'll start off with Just One of the Guys.
Yeah,
that's one of those movies I go back and I still like it today.
It's so
especially
good,
because of her brother Buddy, who's just like a sex fiend in that movie.
He's the best in it.
There's a scene where he describes about how to scratch your balls. Like,
and he moves
like different moves.
Yeah, you move your balls left and right.
Yeah, it's so funny, and it's still holds up to the day, and that girl is so hot.
Oh, she's beautiful.
What did she do? I saw her like on a VH1 show.
She was
like,
she was in a couple of
the 80s or whatever.
No, when she whips him out at the end, she goes, he didn't believe that she was a girl. And when she whips him out, Alexandria Daddario.
No, it's not that one.
But it's top 10.
Okay.
When she whips these out, you got Phoebe Cates.
Yep. Phoebe Cates, yes, in Fast Time, but that felt like a little more, that's a little level above, like, just one of the guys.
That was the reigning champ.
Was that 70s? Was it?
No.
Yeah. Fast Times? No, it was
80. It was 80, I think.
80. Maybe like 80, 81.
I think it was 80. Yeah.
I think it was 80.
But that was the...
It was 82.
Well, Phoebe Cates... The gold standard.
Yes. For a while.
Phoebe Cates held the title. Untold DiDario did shoot.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That long?
Yes.
The record?
Wow. She had a good run. She had a really good run.
That's a huge run.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. DiDario's going to have a huge run.
Yeah.
Because that's not beatable right
that's
now.
That's not beatable. Yeah. She's like
Jesus.
The Steph Curry of topless scenes
Absolutely.
Right now.
Yeah. It's DiDario scene and then everybody and everybody else.
Yeah. DJ, any movies from the 80s specifically, like in this vein, that really kind of stuck out to you growing up?
You know what was I guess Porky's was probably the for me that and actually Original Vacation.
Original Vacation. Did that have
one of the best movies?
Full
of
Frontal.
There was Beverly D'Angelo.
Beverly D'Angelo in the shower.
In the shower. Yep.
And they were fantastic.
Fantastic. And I think also just seeing, blurried, watered Christie Brinkley boobs was good enough for me.
Yeah, that's funny.
I mean, you got Ghostbusters.
You got Revenge of the Nerds. Okay, Revenge of the Nerds, I'll give you, but don't give me Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
that has nothing like
that's true.
Zapped.
You're 100%
yeah,
right.
There are supernatural powers. I'll give you that.
There is.
Revenge of the Nerds won, especially when they raid
the sorority house.
Yes.
It's just brilliant.
And they just sit there for hours waiting for Bush, and they get it.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Like, one of the scenes a lot of people talk about or make fun of. Are the fact she tricks the head cheerleader to make love to him?
Yes.
Like, he puts on the Darth Vader, and she's like, oh. And her reaction is, wow, you nerds really know how to have
you're
sex.
You're a nerd. You eat pussy well.
Yeah. Destroyed her life.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that, that is the most unrealistic thing ever. That would put you in jail immediately.
That coupled with the pie station where they had naked pictures
yes,
at the bottom.
Yes, that's right.
And,
And
Ted McGinley's like, that's my pie.
Can't get over
it. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is.
Get away with that today.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's like, it's my pie. He's like, hair pie. My thing is, she was like, if the nerd would have not destroyed her the way he did, then she probably would have been like, I'm going to file some charges.
Okay.
But since he piped her down, and she was like,
he ended up marrying her.
Stan Gable.
Yeah, that's true.
Stan Gable didn't do this to me.
Yeah.
She's like, this is the new guy.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
look,
funny because
Lewis Skolnick.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Zapped Again, which I'm probably never seen. I hope it stayed R. Revenge of the Nerds was a good radar movie.
Great. Radar.
Then they
Great.
Went PG-13,
and then they had to go back.
Did it go back? What was the
back.
Third one? Though the third one was a TV movie.
No.
The second one was it PG-13? The second one.
The second one was
Revenge
of
the Nerds. Nerds in Paradise.
Right. That is PG-13.
Yes, but it was 100%. Still fantastic.
I'm with you. It's really good.
It holds up.
It is really good, but you
What's
do...
the one when they're in Florida? Is that the...
That's Nerds in Paradise.
Yeah, that's Nerds in Paradise.
It's like
Miami or something.
They ruin their house, and they meet that guy
the
who
old,
smokes weed.
The old Chinese guy.
Booger's guy.
It's like Booger's Yoda.
He's catching mosquitoes with chopsticks and shit.
Yeah. Before Miyagi did it, too.
Yeah.
So, I hate when that happens. I hate when you get a radar franchise, and it goes PG-13. A lot of movies that we've mentioned, Vacation... First movie, rated R. Love that movie.
Yeah.
But they went PG-13. But yeah, I love Christmas Vacation.
They went PG-13 by Christmas, right?
Yeah.
But
European was R?
Yeah, because there's tons of boobs in
I
European.
I gotta admit, I've never seen European.
Oh, you gotta watch it. It's fun.
It's not like, your typical vacation movie.
No.
Okay.
It's shot totally different.
Okay.
Like, the
Eric Idle is like this recurring bumbling idiot. It's a whole thing.
Right. It's not the best. It's
you see Rusty seeing boobs for the first time
it's
and
Vegas.
Stuff like that.
It's better in Vegas. I kind of like Vegas.
Vegas is fun, but it's mindless in PG-13.
Well, anything that has Wayne Newton in it is good.
Good point. Best of the best two. Wayne Newton is in it.
Yes.
Do you remember Best of the Best two?
No.
Okay. Well, Best of the Best is amazing.
Yes.
Part two. What's his name? The guy from Vegas Vacation. You just said his name.
Wayne Newton.
Wayne Newton. He is the bad villain in Best of Best 2.
He probably financed the movie.
It's amazing. Another movie in this range, Police Academy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Love the first Police Academy.
Brilliant. So good.
Rated R. There's that one scene where they're partying at the beach and all the girls get topless.
Yep.
What happens?
PG-13.
What's happening?
And it dies, right?
I'm telling you.
What happens? They know that they're alienating their audience, and they don't want kids buying tickets for you know, whatever, Ernest Goes to Camp, mm-hmm. and then walking in and seeing their movies.
It's, you know? It's the pussification of America. It always is.
Yeah.
It's, you
it's
know,
funny. You know what I realized?
Big deal. It's a pair of breasts. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's,
well, I mean, that's a bigger, you know, conversation.
Europe, yeah. Europe is much, you know, they have nudity in their commercials.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, got to move to Europe.
I mean, absolutely.
Got, I mean, you got the movie we talked about last time I was on here, Gung Ho. That's in the 80s. That's one of my favorites.
Yes, we talked about
that. But then you got,
that.
You know, Armed and Dangerous. You got Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes.
You got,
Armed
like the before mentioned, Back to School. You got The Money Pit. You got Goonies, Back to the Futures. Mm-hmm. I mean, it, you know, yes, we did say the 70s was instrumental for film, I think, taking film to another level.
I think, but as an art 80s, form, the 70s is better. But
absolutely.
If you want just a good time,
80s comedies.
Yeah. 80s reflected
80s
that.
80s comedies were the best.
Well, I also think what's interesting is that John Hughes was able to get a million people to watch his movies and never have any nudity in it.
That's a good point.
That's as well, too.
And that, I think, is why people that started franchises were like, well, if Hughes can do it, then we could probably do it, too.
Good
and
point.
Double and double our, well,
it's
you, know,
all, you know, there's,
our
there's also that. That theory, it's the allure of seeing the breast, but not really seeing them under. Look, breasts can look as great under a shirt, sometimes better under a shirt than out in the open.
No, that is true. They can't,
You know, I think, now, do I watch movies just for it? I don't even care about movie breasts anymore. I care about TV breast. TV breast is where it's at now.
Okay, I feel like we really went off a tangent.
Yeah.
But no, that's great. So I'm thinking, Police Academy. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Spaceballs.
And I feel like in the 90s, rated R movies somehow became toys for kids and cartoons for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some examples. Rambo, First Blood, Rambo 2.
Yeah.
Rated R
movies,
action films.
Mm-hmm.
Rambo cartoon series, Rambo toys.
Yep.
RoboCop, maybe one of the most violent movies of the
80s.
Paul Verhoeven.
Absolutely.
I mean, that movie is violent as hell.
Still is.
We turned to a cartoon.
Still is.
Yeah, still is.
You're 100%
right. Bad. Cartoon, action figures. A movie that was NC-17 that was released called The Toxic Avenger.
Yes.
Where girls are nude.
It's crazy.
There's a scene where a guy's head gets run over and squashed like a watermelon.
Yes.
Became a cartoon and had toy. I had Toxic Avenger toy figures as a kid.
It's a cult classic.
But how did you make this transition from a rated R, hard R, NC-17 type movie to a kid's product? My mom bought me the first movie, The Toxic Avenger, when I was like 10 years old because I had the toys and I watched a cartoon. And then when I watched it downstairs by myself, I was like, there's a girl butt naked. There's sex scenes in the beginning. This is Trauma. Trauma was pushing the envelope in the 80s.
Oh, absolutely.
And then I'm seeing...
It was a B movie.
Yeah, I'm seeing heads getting decapitated and squashed. And I'm like...
It's scary.
What the
it's
hell?
Scary.
My mom had to like saw it, ran it, returned it. I just, you're saying the pussification of America.
Oh, big time. Big
that
time.
Does not happen nowadays.
Well, I mean,
to have those kind of rated R franchises transition to a kid's product.
No, you're 100% right. No comedy stand up anymore.
I
watch
some
and I'm like,
not as much.
Big deal. If I want to watch a comedy, I go to the 80s. The writing was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The jokes hit all the time. The actors were better. They were pure comedic guys that did great stuff. I mean, you know, look at Eddie Murphy.
The
Rodney Dangerfields of the world. Even
Sam
Hanks.
Sam
Kinison.
One of my favorites.
Tom Hanks.
Pryor doing a lot in the 80s, too.
Yeah, Pryor. Tom Hanks was a great comedic actor for a long time. You know, he transformed, obviously, into this guy. But I still think he probably can do comedy.
Put some buddies.
It's interesting how some like comedians can make that jump. For me, Chris Rock never worked in movies.
No, he doesn't.
I think he's going
to
stand up.
He destroys when he stands up.
Destroys.
Oh, unbelievable.
Kills it. And I'm looking forward to see what he does at the Oscars.
That's the only thing I'm watching in the Oscars.
Yeah.
That and Best Supporting.
But have you ever
Other
seen
than that, I don't care.
Besides, the only Chris Rock movie I liked was one that you really liked like a year ago. Was
Top 5.
Top 5.
Fantastic.
Grown Ups 2.
Grown Ups 2.
I thought Top 5 was the best comedy of the 2014.
But it was almost because of the supporting cast more than it was him. Because he was directing and he wrote it. He was fine in it, but it was just like, I was never like, he never hit like anything close to like Eddie Murphy status.
I thought him and Rosario had great chemistry.
They did.
For some reason. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I didn't like Chris Rock in Lethal Weapon 4 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And
bad, yeah.
He doesn't work well with others. Just him a mic and let him do his thing.
Look at Kevin Hart. He's trying to make this jump into movies,
oh,
and I'm
on.
Sorry.
It's just not there.
It's weird. The dude sells out arenas.
Dude, I know.
You know, but he can't.
The he writing, can't make the transition.
Bizarre. It's because he just yells and screams all the time.
Yeah, it comes off really amateurish and just kind of like cheap when he's in movies.
It's cheap. He looks for the cheap laugh.
It's just yeah.
80s comedies didn't have cheap laughs.
How so? Explain that.
It was basically because they're writing. There was no improv in these 80s things. They give okay. you, they would hand John Hughes would hand the script over, and you had to say every single word that was on there. No improv. Yeah. Apatow just get you know you get a it gives him a camera and lets Jonah Hill talk for like 2 hours.
Well, that's
and then
why every one of his movies
fun.
Is an hour too long.
Right, exactly.
Even they're good
because they wait
I
for
like
something
them,
good to happen.
But there's just nothing left to be desired.
Yeah,
you know.
True. And who I'm trying, Dane Cook also tried making that jump. Didn't work.
No, he did not.
I would say Eddie Murphy is probably the most successful comedian stand-up to ever transition to film.
Yes.
You guys say so? Sam Kennison had a few fun roles, like in Back to School
mm-hmm.
and some other. I think he might have been in some other films. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, he had little supporting roles.
He had little supporting roles, but like, I wonder why Eddie Murphy was just that talented, I guess?
I mean, he was.
Or he just hit at the right time, maybe, like you said, because it was the 80s.
It was coming up. Pryor was on his way out, you know. You always need a great...
Yeah, that's right. Pryor's another good Pryor one. Was Pryor his, was great in movies.
Yeah, yeah, he was on
but
his way
But he was
out.
Always good with Gene Wilder. Did he ever, like, really carry a movie by himself?
Brewster's Millions.
Yeah.
Oh, but he had John Candy.
That's true.
I mean, John Candy was one of the best.
Well,
the best.
I mean, every great comedian needs a bounce mm-hmm. board, you know? And
yeah.
Pryor's bounce board was Candy.
Yeah.
You know,
in that
which
movie.
Was, yeah, which
that
was, movie. Yeah, which was fantastic.
Usually Wilder.
Yeah,
yeah
and
usually
Wilder.
Wilder.
And Wilder as
for
well.
For sure.
But then you also have, you know, Eddie Murphy... He worked well with Nick Nolte. I mean, 48 yeah. Hours is a comedy.
And no, it's for sure.
And 48 Hours is fantastic.
But Beverly Hills
and holds up.
But Beverly Hills Cop is Eddie Murphy's movie.
Oh, yeah.
Hands
and Judge
down.
Reinhold is
he's fine, but come
yeah.
on.
No, it's Eddie Murphy's movie.
Yeah, it's Eddie Murphy's
It was supposed
movie.
To be Stallone's movie, but, you know.
That's true, and that turned out to be
Which
Cobra.
Would be, yeah, exactly.
another thing I was going to say was, talking about the 80s movies, oh, I just had the thought and I lost it. Oh, come on, bring it back.
The best, with the best 80s movies?
What were you saying? No, we were just talking about Eddie Murphy, how he transitioned, and I had something and I lost it.
You know
it.
We should do the top
it
10.
It happens to me sometimes, guys.
Next time I come on here, we're going to do the top 10 breast reveals of all time.
Good one.
That
it's
would
actually
be pretty good.
It's actually pretty. I'll work on it. I already have three.
Already
I can
three?
Definitely get, well, just one of the guys.
Okay.
Market research.
Phoebe Cates.
Mm-hmm.
Alexandra Daddario.
Mm.
That's three.
Yeah.
That's the probably the top three.
Salma Hayek never really went full on, man.
No, she never
she
went full on.
She did a Desperado.
Retard. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because Zapped was like, for what that was trying to be in the 80s.
But Katie Holmes and The Gift. Those were nice,
yes,
too.
Yes, good. Not yeah. not The Gift from this year. The one.
No.
The
that
Sam
was
Raimi,
good, too, though.
Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
Also, there's American Pie was trying to be like the Porky slash
sure.
kind of that kind of vibe for the 90s.
It was yeah. a good comedy.
Was there anything like that in the 2000s? Like, was there anything that hit that teen? I mean, the American Pie movies kind of continued for a while.
Yeah, but only the first one's the only one you need to watch.
Yeah, I no, I don't know. I don't. I didn't, the American
gags,
Wedding wasn't bad. Actually.
It wasn't bad, but the first one was just fantastic because it was a breath of fresh air.
It was good.
Yeah,
it was a breath of fresh air. It was what people needed.
Yeah, is there anything that's been like that lately? You guys
Project
think
X?
No, I never like saw that. Was
it
fun?
That's fun.
It's good?
Yeah. They're making another one.
Yeah, they
oh,
are.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I liked the best comedy this year was the night, last year was the night before.
Yeah, you said the night before. See, I loved What We Do in the Shadows.
I laughed at it, but I don't remember anything.
What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
No, oh, yeah, with so Jermaine good. Clement.
Yeah, I gotta check that.
Gentleman Bronco of 2013 was the best comedy. But see, that's the thing. Nobody gets this kind of zany humor anymore. They chalk it up as being stupid. And a lot of TV execs and you know, not DJ, but a lot of film execs as well, they don't get this humor anymore. Now
yeah.
they're always like, I wish 80s movies were being made again. Then put them through, you loser. You know what I mean? It has,
yeah.
People are still writing these things,
yeah.
but people are taking them as, oh, yeah, this can't sell. And you know what? I think they're wrong. Now, will it ever make a comeback? I don't think so. Because there was a lot of political stuff in these 80s movies and a lot of like racism and sexism
mm-hmm.
and all these things. And now nobody wants to see that anymore because they're afraid to get, you know, rung up on charges.
Yeah.
Sucks.
It's interesting, man. I mean,
even breast reveals ain't great anymore on movies. They're just going on TV now.
I'm trying to think of, I remember like just certain movies, like I think nowadays with internet has really diluted everything.
Yes.
Like when I was growing up, like I'd go see a movie like In the Color of Night with
mm-hmm.
Bruce Willis.
Fantastic.
Just
because
I heard
movie.
There was like two amazing sex montages.
Jane March is so hot.
I remember the first movie I went and did that for was Skin Deep with John Ritter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh
that's
wow.
A good one. That's actually a really good movie.
Really good movie.
Really?
And lots of gratuitous.
I vaguely remember that
yeah.
one.
I love that movie.
But I remember hearing like there's... multiple scenes, and I was like, I'm going, you know?
Yeah. Basic Instinct, another one I hit in the 90s where I was like, I'm going to go see it just because everyone's talking about how good the sex scenes are and stuff.
I have like seven DVDs at my house. Boogie Nights, Zapped. And then the rest are just panty dropper movies like, you know, Basic Instinct, Color of Night. They're like, do you have anything without the movie? I'm like, nah, we don't have that.
I'm trying to think. Those erotic type thrillers don't really, they're not really around as much as they used to be.
Yeah, no. Much to Brian De Palma's dismay.
I know.
Yeah, that's right. I was watching a new show on, what was it? It was on Netflix called Love. It's a Judd Apatow's produced show. Yeah, and he has one of the episodes, he even says, they don't make those rock thrillers anymore.
That's right.
And I immediately started thinking about them, and I was like, oh, yeah, man. What happened
to those? It's really hard to make a great erotic thriller.
The last one that did do well was like Original Sin with Antonio Banderas, Angelina Jolie.
Right.
Which had like this epic love
scene.
Well,
they tried to do the erotic thriller with the 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, that's right.
It just didn't work. There wasn't no thrill in it. You know, I like Dakota. What's her name? She's hot.
Yeah,
beautiful. Yeah. But Dakota Johnson. But
she's Antonio Banderas' daughter, right?
No. Don Johnson.
Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
she's beautiful. She's in just How to Be Single just recently.
That's right.
But I think it's very hard. Like 9.5 weeks is probably one of the best.
Adrian Nine is the best.
You got Eyes Wide Shut.
Unfaithful.
Unfaithful.
He also did Unfaithful.
The last great one was Unfaithful. That is a fantastic movie.
That is a really
Diane
good movie.
Diane Lane is so sexy.
With Richard Gere and
it's great. Oliver Martinez.
Yes.
Olivia.
Diane Lane. That's a movie you want to put on with a girl now. The thing is with it though. They jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
But you got to get to the point before the conclusions start to jump. So, like.
What do you mean?
The hell so it's like, what does that mean?
Why do you have this crazy person on your show? Kidnap Zach, ladies and gentlemen.
Kidnap Zach, the Pit Boss coming in.
Basically, what I'm saying is
Pit Boss, you have a favorite erotic thriller?
Well, I love Color of Night because Jane March is great and Bruce Willis's penis.
Yes. Under the table, you
That's
see
right.
it.
That was a big deal, swimming. By the way. When that movie came out, it was like, you can show everything on a girl, but you show a guy's penis, people lost their mind.
What I mean by that is it's basically get the girl naked before like the bad shit starts to happen.
Okay.
Because then they'll start thinking that you might be the bad guy, or you're going to cheat on them, or you're going to be that guy. So once it starts getting really erotic, you got to pick your spots.
Right.
You got to be like, this is my shot to get my hand down her pants right now. And then put it on pause, then watch the rest of it. But who cares already, because you already did what you needed to do.
Another one from the 90s, I believe, that comes to mind is called, I think it's called Sliver. Sharon Stone.
One of the Baldwins? It was Billy Baldwin.
It's Billy Baldwin. Tom Berenger.
I don't think it was Billy. I think it was Daniel.
Billy's the one that was in Backdraft.
Yes, Daniel.
Daniel.
No. Is it Billy?
Steven Baldwin.
No, it's not Steven.
It's Billy.
Steven's the chubby one.
It is Billy.
It's Billy.
It's Billy Baldwin.
Billy.
Yeah.
There's too many Baldwins.
Daniel was drugged up somewhere. Steven was in Usual Suspects.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
what
he was good in that.
Sliver was like basically a true story of Rob Lowe's thing where he like videotaped all his sexual escapades.
That was the first sex tape.
Yeah, but in this one, this guy like had a park complex and Sharon Stone's living there and he's just watching her.
His war room is just so great.
Yeah, war room, exactly.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, you know, I don't know. Do scripts pass people's desks anymore erotic-wise? I mean, I think they probably jumped a little bit. You know, with 50 Shades of Grey, people try to jump on that train. I think it's more in books.
That was adapted from a book.
I think a lot of them are from books.
But from what I hear from most people, not a very good book.
One of my favorites is...
Some of the worst prose I've
ever read. Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
It's kindergarten writing. One of my top five probably favorites are Unfaithful's in there.
Mm-hmm. Disclosure came out right after.
Yeah, Disclosure.
Oh, right.
That was right after Basic Instinct and Fatal Attraction.
9.5 weeks, Fatal Attraction.
Yeah. I never saw 9.5 weeks.
It's great. That's when Mickey Rourke.
When he was just at his peak.
Oh, yeah. You know what's good? Angel Heart.
Oh, yeah. With
also Mickey Rourke and Lisa Bonet.
Yeah,
it's
Lisa
very,
Bonet.
Very, very, very erotic.
De Niro's the devil.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's very erotic. I like
Interesting.
It.
Interesting.
And Color of Night, obviously.
Color of Night, yeah.
Fantastic.
It's
Angel Heart.
Is it Angel Heart?
Yeah.
There's also Devil's Advocate.
That's Pacino.
Pacino.
Is that erotic thriller?
Super.
Nah,
really?
Dude, there's a lot of...
Charlize Theron's nude in here for a little
there's
bit.
There's a lot of nude chicks in there.
Sister.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
They go to these parties and stuff. Yeah.
The Eyes Wide Shut party is what I want to throw. If I ever make a lot of money, I'm going to do one of those things. Definitely. And everybody's invited.
Thank you. Oh, great.
Yeah, you guys
that was my next question.
Yeah, you guys
are
invited.
Are we all invited?
Absolutely, you guys are invited.
Phil.
Yeah, it feels like I'm going to be
right. Wow, we took some crazy turns in this podcast.
Yeah. I think that's the way it needs to
this
go.
This is like a, you know, Dear Penthouse kind of episode.
Well, Zap, I mean, Zap does, you know, that. Sets off a chain of events. It's clear.
Erotic, takes down erotic journey.
The erotic journey from Lon to Minsk.
We're about to get a lot less erotic here because, so I tweeted out for the show saying we're about to do a show. Mm-hmm. And at the end, I like to do a thing called Quick Thinks where I ask people what's the last movie they watched. And then we're going to give our, you know, our quick opinions on them. Maybe you guys seen some of these. Maybe you haven't. Let's find
out. Sure we have.
We got a lot of tweets, guys. So there's a lot of movies to go through.
Perfect.
I'm not going to be able to get all of them, guys. I'll do my best. All right, first person up is Mathis Schmidt at Mathis G. Schmidt. Mm-hmm. Just got done watching Straight Outta Compton.
You know?
Did you see this movie?
I saw it twice.
I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, what'd you guys think? Overall, loved it? Liked it?
I thought, I wasn't, I think I came in with low expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And
really?
I walked out blown away. I thought it was fantastic. I thought Easy was great.
Yes, the guy played Easy.
I mean,
NWA
was my, turned me on to rap.
Me too.
You know, and I know this. I knew the story. I've watched, you know, jury documentaries. I've watched the NWA story. I read books, things like that.
You can't.
I think, I thumbed through.
DJ, were you a big
I
fan?
I fondled the book.
I quite liked it, but I having known the story extensively, you know, they glazed over how terrible they were to each other, and I get that for entertainment.
To each other, they were that bad towards each other. Well, they touched a little bit on it, didn't they?
A little bit, but
so it was worse.
Yeah,
well, it was Cuban Dre behind it. So
it wasn't super amicable for a long time, but yeah. But you look, they chose to make the central conflict Jerry Heller, and that was a good choice.
And I thought Paul Giamatti was fantastic in it as well.
Yeah.
Ultimately, with that movie, you know, it should have probably been nominated for Best Picture, in my opinion.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, I don't know. Like, I do agree the ending gets a little behind the music-y.
Uh-huh.
Like, but overall, I just had such a good time with it. I was like, whatever.
It was a fun ride.
Now, when they start
the
singing,
great,
when they start playing No Vaseline and everybody's listening to it,
yes.
And Jerry Harrell goes,
that was my favorite
starts
parts.
Going crazy.
I'll call the freaking.
Yeah. What is it? The Jewish League or whatever? Defamation League?
Yeah, I forgot what he said.
That's Defamation League. He's calling me an anti Semite.
Yeah.
They're like, you don't even know what Renz or somebody, they're like, you don't even know what anti Semite means.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I love that movie also. I just picked it on Blu ray. Apparently, the director's cut is 20 minutes longer.
Oh, nice.
And I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I want to watch it because I heard a lot of people say it actually fills in some of the gaps.
I believe. So, yeah. Yeah, I probably didn't want to put that. I mean, look, it could have been a little more condensed. You know, I thought it ended abruptly. But, I mean, I still think it's better than half of the Best Picture nominees that are out there.
True that. Clement N. at Jirachi 1. Last
great
film
name.
He watched was Escape from New York.
Ooh.
Talk about like 80s movies.
Mm-hmm.
I love Escape from New York. I'm not a huge fan of Escape from LA.
No, it's the worst.
But this movie, like, it's low budget, but you watch it now, it still feels cool as shit.
It's great.
Has Kurt Russell ever been cooler than he was?
The best.
In Escape from New York?
And maybe the best in Tango key art Cash. Ever, too.
The best what?
Key art.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the poster's amazing.
It's amazing.
I have that poster in my room.
That was probably like one of the first things that depicted the Statue of Liberty's head off.
Oh, that's right.
And then Roland Emmerich uses it in every movie, even if they're not
Planet
in America.
Apes, buddy.
Oh,
Planet
yeah,
Apes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right, you're right, you're right.
That's right.
Yeah. Fantastic film.
Isaac, rest in peace.
Animal.
Rest in peace, Isaac Hayes.
Yes.
As the major pimp daddy
That's
who had
right.
chandeliers on his car. That was like the most pimp thing in the whole movie.
Isaac Hayes, Jesus.
Known as Chef to most of you.
Known as Chef, but he has one of the best songs in the world. It's called Ike's Mood. It's like a nine minute, like just trip. It's, and how his mood, he's on piano, he's on horns. It's fantastic. Anybody wants to listen to Ike's Mood?
Yeah, listen right. to it. I'll go listen.
Listen to Ike's Mood. Listen to Ike's Mood while watching Unfaithful or something. Yeah. And if you can't get laid there, you might as well just jump off a bridge.
I guarantee you about 9% of the listeners never even heard of Color of Night until I mentioned it.
Well, hopefully somebody watches Color of Night with Ike's Mood and they could attribute and they get laid. Pay me later.
Totally agree. All right, let's hit up another one here. All right, well, we're in a Kurt Russell run because Rodan Roche, last movie he watched was Tombstone.
Huh.
Fucking Wyatt Earp.
This is.
We watched that last week.
Yeah, we watched it last week.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Did you still
dig it?
I thought somebody was going to talk about Dig It. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay, just making sure. You know, John Rocha, friend of the show, does not like that movie.
He's just, Wyatt Earp's better.
Yep. Oh, no. You think Wyatt Earp's better?
He does. That's the argument we were
having.
That's
what he had. Yeah. John Rocha said he liked the Kevin Costner Wyatt Earp movie better.
I think Wyatt Earp's better too.
Why is it better?
I just thought it was. I just thought it was better. It was a better recounting of that story. You know? I felt like, and Tombstone's a great movie. I quite like it. It's such a fun movie. But I thought it was poppy. You know,
it is. Yeah. It is. I mean,
well, it went through different directors. But I'm going to give you one reason why Tombstone is better.
I could give you two.
Frank Stallone.
Yeah.
Period.
I was going to say Val Kilmer.
Well, yeah. Him too. But Michael, Frank Stallone kills
Michael
it.
Bean.
And Dana Delaney.
Powers Booth.
And Dana Delaney's breast.
Dude, that's right. Yeah. Frank Stallone. He plays the... Who is he again? The guy?
He's the guy with Val Kilmer stabs.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just recently rewatched Tombstone, and it is such a fun movie. I don't think it tells the story Wyatt Earp very well, which is probably what your beef with the movie is.
Exactly.
But as
it's
just
so
a solid,
good, and it's so well cast. You know?
Yeah, definitely. Who plays Doc Holliday in the Wyatt Earp movie?
Oh God, I can't even remember. I haven't seen it in a while.
No, you know, I'm having to revisit that movie.
It was
I'm thinking the same thing.
I haven't watched it in a while either.
But so I got two guys telling me that.
I remember knowing that I always liked Wyatt Earp more than I liked.
Tombstone. Doc Holliday stole the movie. I mean, Val Kilmer was
he was amazing.
Yeah,
he was
unbelievable. Johnny Ringo, the dirty cowboys, whatever they were. Fantastic.
Directed by George P. Cosmatos.
Yes,
the guy who directed Rambo 2, First Blood, Rambo 2. But apparently, there's a lot of rumors.
Dennis Quaid played Doc Holliday.
Oh, Dennis Quaid. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
but you got Bill Paxton in Tombstone. I see you're Dennis Quaid. I raise you Bill Paxton.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, and then
Sam Elliott.
Well, then I take your Sam Elliott and raise you Gene Hackman.
Oh yeah, damn it. So. Both those movies are cast really good.
Really
what
well.
I wanted to watch, but I didn't get a chance to yet, and talk about it, and I will do it next time. Is Mask?
Oh, with Cher
and Sam
and
Elliott,
Eric Stoltz,
and Eric
Peter Bogdanovich directed
as Rocky Dennis.
Oh yeah, Sam Elliott's the biker.
He's Gar.
Yeah, that's
right. He gives Rocky's first knife.
That's a movie I have not seen in a long time.
We're gonna talk. I'm gonna watch it next week.
About it. I'll watch it too because
it's
I haven't
so
seen it in a long
good.
Time.
I feel so sorry for Rocky.
Yeah.
You know, not the real
he
Rocky.
He got the short end of the stick.
Rocky
on that
Dennis.
One.
You know, he's kind of, you know, something happened to him.
He looks like a Dick Tracy villain.
But Gar took him to a hooker. Like,
did he? Or does he? Oh, man. This movie's darker than I remembered.
It's the best.
All right.
He joins a motorcycle gang. He's wearing bandanas with the deformation.
Sounds amazing.
So good.
It's the that generation's Elephant Man.
Yeah.
Jack Devine, also, I act Jack Devine, but his name is Jack Walsh. last movie he watched was Heat. I think Heat. I mean, it's gone down as one of the greatest action crime movies of all time now, right?
I abide by the De Niro rule.
Yeah.
What's that?
Can't leave anything in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Get out.
Get out.
Yep.
This is a 3-hour movie, by the way.
I'll collect my Stallone mugs.
Yeah.
Some of my memorabilia. And
what's that?
What's a 3-hour movie?
Wyatt Earp is also 3 hours.
3 hours and 10 minutes.
Holy
it's just
shit.
Like, Heat. Lawrence Kasdan was like, you know what, guys?
Well, Kevin Costner.
Here I go.
Kevin Costner is never in anything
a movie
under three
hours. Yeah.
It's exactly. A good point.
Whether he directs it or just acts.
He's like, we got to do 3 hours here.
Would you say Heat is Michael Mann's best film by far?
I think it's his magnum opus, yeah.
I think it's a beautiful film, yeah. But
yeah, I mean, Collateral's up there.
Collateral's
definitely enjoyable.
It's great, but it's not better than Heat.
The one that I haven't seen in a long time that I need to revisit is Thief with James Caan.
I watched it about 2 years ago.
Really? Is it hold up?
It's good. It's very good. It's not better than Heat.
Okay.
But it's fantastic. It's a low budget, and it's like car dealerships blow up, and a lot of scenes are filmed over on Wilshire.
Speaking of Val Kilmer and Tombstone, Val Kilmer and Heat.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
I'll give, you know what? If I had to say, did he give better performance in Heat or Tombstone, I would go Tombstone.
I
only
agree.
Because he has more charisma. He's just a cold-blooded professional killer, and he's badass.
With a righteous ponytail.
Yeah, with a righteous ponytail,
I think that's Val Kilmer's best movie, Tombstone.
Think so? Yeah, it's gotta be.
I mean, he nailed...
Top Gun.
Top Gun's great, too. But it's not really his movie. He nailed the Doors movie, too. He nailed Jim Morrison.
Oh, that's right. Oliver
he
Stone.
Nailed,
I forgot about that. That's one of those movies I watched as a kid and I fucking couldn't get into because it was just so fucking trippy.
Yeah, he was really great in that, but yeah.
Tombstone is
he was playing himself.
Yeah, exactly. Tombstone is his thing.
All right, we're going to do one more, guys, and we're going to call it a day here. Miles at Miles Power YT. He said, Copland, I know you will appreciate that one. Let's talk a little bit about Copland because Stallone is up for the Oscar this weekend.
Yes, he is.
For
he's going to win it.
He's going to win it. Everyone,
you would think.
Betting man. you're putting your money on Sly's Weekend. He's the sentimental favorite. He's the Ozon favorite.
Yeah.
A couple of those floating around.
What's that?
A couple of sentimental favorites.
Yeah, definitely. There is. Leo for sure.
Absolutely.
But you got to say, Copland was like the last time he was even in the breath of getting like an Oscar nomination, at least by the company that was making sure.
He wanted to
put on like 40 pounds.
Yeah, 40 pounds.
Put on a lot of weight.
He wanted to be taken seriously. And he was working with some real heavy hitters. Mm-hmm. And the movie's underrated.
Yeah, James Mangold, who's gone on to do Walk the Line. Mm-hmm. He did that Tom Cruise movie that was not very good, Night
just
and
signed
Day.
Signed on to do Captain Nemo.
Yes, Captain Nemo. Yeah. His last film was The Wolverine.
Yep.
So he's had a successful career. But the movie he made before Copland was called Heavy, which got a lot of like recognition on the like
Circuit
Sundance.
Buzz. Yeah,
the
Circuit Buzz, yeah.
Film Festival Circuit. Mm-hmm. So this was like his first big studio movie.
Right.
And he was really resistant on casting Stallone at first.
Everybody was.
Yeah, well, I mean, Stallone, I mean, he's Rocky IV, Rocky Balboa, I mean, it's Rambo.
3% body fat. This guy had to put on 45 pounds.
And I think the movie is really good. I haven't seen it in a while, but I'll never forget seeing it. It came out.
I remember seeing it in the theater.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It came out the weekend of my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember for my birthday, me and my friends all went and saw it.
Yes.
Because I was a huge Stallone fan growing up.
No.
Come on, you know. But the thing is, like, it has a great cast also, by the way.
You got
De Niro.
You know what the sad part
Harvey
about it
Keitel.
Is?
What?
That movie would go straight to DVD right now. It came out.
No, you
absolutely.
Think so?
You
know. No. Not when you got De Niro. He does straight DVD some now.
No,
really
they
though.
All do.
Ray Liotta's really good, too.
Bruce Willis's last five movies have gone to DVD. And this guy was the biggest star in the world.
But he shows up for a day, gets a couple mil, and he's done.
Right, of course. But the thing is, he's still in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go on record saying if Copland came out now, it would go right to DVD or tank in the theater, no question.
I don't know, man.
Right,
I think that's more about where Stallone's career is than it was like.
There's no market for those movies anymore unless it's a Coen Brothers film.
I don't know. That's good.
It's sad.
It's tough. Miramax.
We're living in a superhero world. Period. It's superhero movies and everything else.
Yeah, Stallone had a famous quote of in the 2000s when all these superhero movies started coming.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the minute you could put abs on a suit, he's like,
I'm done.
The old action hero kind of died
right.
away.
It's 100% the truth.
Because look at now, you got Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys, I mean, like, not all of them are like that. Hemsworth still, I mean, the dude's jacked and
right.
Chris
yeah.
Evans. But
look at the Benghazi movie.
Look at Mike. Well,
didn't make a lot of money.
Was it good?
It should have. I heard
it. It was okay.
Ellis gave it 5 of 5.
Yeah, he went a little nutty over it. We all know that.
Yeah. It's a little crazy.
But,
Bark Ellis.
I think what really started that was Michael Keaton as Batman, because Michael Keaton was not an action hero before that movie.
Nobody thought that would work.
No.
Yeah. Dude, it took him a long time to even make that movie.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of 80s movies, I mean, Michael Keaton had a run. I mean, Gung Ho, Mr. Mom, Night Shift.
Yeah.
You know? So and he was a great comedian.
Yeah, you know,
and
he so
did Batman
funny.
And he killed it. And he was actually funny sometimes as Bruce Wayne, because you were waiting for something funny to pop out of his mouth, but it sort of never did.
And if you guys really like Spotlight, which has got a chance of winning Best Picture this weekend, check out the Ron Howard movie, The Paper.
Yeah, I like that movie.
With Michael Keaton.
Right.
Michael Keaton's best movie it wasn't even in theaters. It's called Live from Baghdad. It was an HBO movie.
Yes, thank you. I love that
fantastic.
Movie.
Fantastic. That brought him
so
back.
Good.
It brought him back.
That was a great movie. Also, he did a horror film a few years ago.
White Noise.
Yes, White Noise. I dug that movie.
Listen, I'm a big Michael Keaton fan.
Yes.
I'm an undercover Michael Keaton
fan.
Dude,
same here.
But Spotlight, the makeup department really didn't do him justice. I think if Spotlight wins Best Picture, it's not worthy of a Best Picture. I think Compton's better than that movie.
Well, let me ask you guys. We're about to exit the show here.
It was a good movie, but it was dense.
It was dense. There was nothing, like, there was no. They talked about the thrillers. They talked about the priest, but show something.
Yeah, it's such a tough. I know.
Give
but
something.
It's just,
give me something.
Raid a rectory and pull these guys out of their bed or something.
Yeah,
give
me something.
Give me something. It's funny because like it did feel a little bit like that. I don't mean as an insult, but it felt a little bit like an HBO movie to me.
Absolutely,
I agree.
Like, I'm watching. I'm like, this could be something I see on HBO on a Saturday night, and I'm like, that's really
good.
It's also hard to dramatize the mounting of a Pulitzer Prize winning story.
Absolutely,
you know? It's like we're talking about words and investigating more words. It's
my friend Nicole Rockland produced this movie, and she's been trying to get it produced for years and years.
Really?
And years. 10-12 years in making this movie. Great girl.
Mm-hmm.
Real hard worker. I just I wasn't blown away.
And I love Tom McCarthy. I think he's a super talented director.
Win-win.
Yeah.
You see Win-win? That's Paul Giamatti.
Station
love.
Agent is great.
You put me on the Win-win when I first met you, and I was like, this
Win-win
movie is
Win-win was a really good movie. Had so much heart. Very
anything
honest.
With Giamatti
he's
in
good.
It
he's
crushes.
Really good at that stuff, McCarthy. But I just, you know, it is what it is. I mean, for Rachel McAdams to get nominated, she's in five
ridiculous.
Scenes, dude. She's in five scenes.
Show me what scene she got nominated for.
From what I understand, she was like,
what?
She was asleep and she woke up to like 8 gabillion messages on her phone and was like, what's happening? Oh, the movie got nominated. Great. And they were like, no, you got nominated. She was like, why?
What?
You know? Yeah.
That's, you know, well,
totally
you know
agree.
Why? But they
bizarre.
probably used that first shot of True Detective too. Her ass out. Like, that's what she probably thought the Twitter was blowing up for.
That's what they sent for her, like,
she's consideration. She's like, was that for the ass in True Detective 2? Oh, no. That's for you winning it. No, she does not. But what that shows you how thin it was this year.
All right, let me ask you, before we leave, one question. What's going to win this Sunday at Oscars, and what do you want to win? What would you, if you voted, like, any movie could win a Best Picture this year, what would you pick? And what do you think is going to win? We'll start with you first time. What's going to win? What should win?
I think The Revenant will win.
Okay. What should win?
I think Ex Machina should have won.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Wow. It's not even noted. It's
not nominated.
I thought it was a great movie. It was my favorite movie of the year.
All right, interesting.
Besides Creed and Compton.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't think Compton would be number two, though.
Coming number two. All right, DJ?
I think Spotlight will win.
You think Spotlight? Okay.
Yeah, and I think Revenant probably should. You know, I just think
So you're a big fan of Revenant?
I was a fan of it, but I just think the undertaking of making that type of a film, you know, is so insane. And I think, you know, Inarritu is brilliant, and he'll get, you know, his again. But I think it's Chivo who really made that movie. You know,
gotcha.
Emmanuel. He's brilliant, and I think, you know, using natural light and
it's amazing.
Yeah,
candlelight and natural light. Period. And you know, somewhere Kubrick is smiling. You know, and
yes,
I think
Barry Lyndon.
Yeah,
and
that's where it should win.
And I think you know, the undertaking, the elements, the weather, you know. Having to keep that beard for 2 years, and all these different things. You know, it was
taking that into account. Yes,
It was quite interesting.
Was the movie absolutely blown away? Fantastic. No,
no. The three place races. Apparently, it's Revenant, Spotlight, The Big Short. Those are the three that actually have a chance of winning.
I think The Big Short's great.
I think
I
it's
love
good
that
too.
Movie.
It's good.
I just don't know if it's Best Picture though.
No, it's like.
All right, well, let me give
look
you
at Best Pictures. I mean, you got Godfathers. You got, you know, fantastic.
Well, not every year
film.
You're going to get a movie like The Godfather, but I see what you're saying.
Right.
For me, like, I think at the end, The Revenant will pull out and win.
Yeah, I think so too.
But if I was going to pick out of all the Best Picture nominees, it would be Mad Max Fury Road. Do you guys agree? Disagree?
I wholeheartedly disagree.
What did you not like Mad Max Fury Road?
Well, I remember I had the issue with you with the 3D,
yeah,
but then I watched it. I like it. But I don't think it's a Best Picture.
Just like DJ was saying, what went into making that movie?
Oh, of course.
Even Tom Hardy said, he goes, I was just on my set. Like, I have no idea what's happening.
Right.
And to see him actually, because it's all in George Miller's head.
Yeah, of course.
They said they shot over 400 hours of film.
It's amazing.
That's Coppola style.
Yeah, then you go watch that movie.
It took him 25 years to make
the
movie.
Yeah. And the editing in that movie was insane.
It's going to win for every technical thing.
I totally agree.
I think Revenant might win for sound mix.
Okay.
But aside from that, everything else.
Is
Mad Max.
That's where it's going to
clean
up.
As it should be. Maybe one Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Might take one. But damn, dude.
Yeah.
That movie was so technically proficient and so much fun.
So good.
That's beautiful.
Still my favorite movie of the year. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for the show. This was a lot of fun. I haven't had three guests on since last time Vistock was on. We had Mark Ellis.
Well, I roll with an entourage.
That's how it goes.
Ken Knapsack even
even popped in. All right.
He's
so let's start off with Tom. Tell them where they can find you.
At Bob Vistock. You know, we're starting phase six of the Schmoes. Really excited about that. Finstock has a new manager. Finstock has new gear. Finstock has a new attitude on life.
Okay.
He's going to be more iconic than he's ever been. And
that's
it's
exciting.
At Bob Finstock, and I'm facing Juan Shep.
Oh, how do you feel about that?
Look, the guy's an encyclopedia, you know, but, where you see sweat, you see fear. You know,
yes.
So
that's the tagline for your whole campaign from here on out.
Absolutely, because I don't sweat.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I mean?
Right. He's not sweating.
Never
people.
Let him see you sweat. So all the kings, all the sweaty kings' horses, and all the sweaty kings' men ain't gonna put the sweaty king back together again.
DJ, tell where they can find you on social media.
You can find me at the Deejer and Deejer.com, and you can also find me working in Bobby Finstock's new manager's office.
Yeah, yeah, she's the best.
Okay, great.
She's going to make Spicy Lucy eat dirt. No offense to Spicy Lucy.
No offense to Spicy Lucy.
Who is not in the country anymore, I don't think.
Oh, really? Oh,
wow. Yeah, something. I don't know what the hell happened to her.
Deported?
I think, you know, she was banned from, like, places, and then I don't know. It got really weird.
A lot of legal tape. We won't get into it. Guys, you can catch me at SchmoesJTE on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. Catch me every Sunday with Bob Finstock and Sarah Stratton doing box office breakdown, where we break down the weekend box office numbers. It's a really fun show. Tune in. Also, Screen Junkies. I'm the engineer. I'm on movie fights. I'm on movie games. I'm all over the place over there. Yep. And like Mr. Finstock was saying, Phase 6 is coming up real soon.
Absolutely.
It's going to be big, man. Schmodown, the Schmoes No Movie Show. I mean, it's just going to be epic.
Yeah, we're gonna take over the world.
Yeah, we really are.
This time we will. Phase 6.
Del Boca Vista.
Yeah, you can follow me. St. Louis.
All right, guys. Also, if you're on iTunes, do me a favor. Leave me a comment. And if you feel like we gave you a 5-star podcast, leave 5 stars. I think we did.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we introduced you to a movie called In the Color of Night with Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you get to see his penis under the table.
Yeah. If that doesn't earn me 5 stars, come on, guys. What does?
Absolutely. And next thing you know, we're going to do Mask next. Okay, we're also going to do the top 10 breast reveals of all time. And
we'll,
I think
we'll do that
really
in one
like
episode.
That.
That's a one episode.
Yeah, it's one episode.
Okay. The first half will be Mask, not the Jim Carrey movie.
No, definitely not.
And the second half will be top 10 breast
reveals.
I'm really going to have to do some homework on that one.
I think we're going to do
a lot of game tape.
Right. Yeah, right. We're going to have to break it down.
Market research.
Yeah. We're going to do market research. We're going to do cup sizes. We're going to do areola circumferences. Like nipple erection. Whatever circumference as well. Just a bunch of circumferences.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Keep watching those movies. Cool.